Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Play the Mayday clip again, Shep. I can't hear it enough. I play it like 5,000 times a week.
He gets tripped up, gets it to May, and over the line. He's May going in on goal. He shoots. He scores!
Is that the greatest thing ever? I think it is. That is the greatest thing ever, Mayday.
Hey, Scotty, thank you for the introduction. You know what? It was a great moment. There's no doubt about it. And it never gets old, that's for sure.
How about that guy? You know, he's still doing games. And we were on the elevator today, and there was a Sabre fan on the elevator. And I said to him, I go, well, they finally don't suck anymore. And, you know, how about that guy? Is there anyone better, honestly, than Rick Jenneret?
Well, you know what? I'm a little biased, Scott, but I think he's absolutely fantastic. He actually got inducted in the Hall of Fame, Hockey Hall of Fame, a few years ago, and they actually played that clip when he was introduced as a member of the Hall of Fame. So, somehow, some way, find my way to the Hall of Fame. It wasn't by my play at all. It was somebody yelling my name. That's as close as I was ever going to get, that's for sure.
No, that's ridiculous. So Brad May, the Vegas Knights TV analyst on AT&T Sportsnet Rocky Mountain, with us on the bench. And I almost fell over when I ran into you at the Vegas game because I had no idea you were doing that gig because I'm an idiot. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. All I care about is the Penguins. And I walked in to say hi to Borky, and there you were talking to him. I cut you off. I'm like, get out of my way, buddy. What up, Borky? And then you're like, hey, Pharrell. And I'm like, oh, my God, Mayday. I go, I almost had a heart attack when I saw you. I'm like, Mayday.
Hey, you know what's crazy? You're nuts, right? You watch every sport. You pay attention to, obviously, football, college sports, hockey, all of them. It's hard, you know, to consume or certainly be a fan of a specific team when you're so overexposed to all the sports. I would imagine, for me, I pay attention to what I'm doing with work, and I just sit back and I watch sports, but I'm not a fan of any team.
So you got this gig. How did you end up doing the Vegas Knights gig? I mean, how did you end up in that with this team out here? How did it all come together?
Well, good-looking guy on TV, and I'm doing a good job, Scotty. No, you know what? It's very cool. When one door shut, others open for me. I was working for the Sabres for a few years, which was amazing. Back with Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray and Brian Duff and others. But for me, it fell in my lap. I really enjoyed it. Obviously, it was a maiden voyage last year in Vegas, which was a Cinderella story, really, from start to finish, outside of the tragedy that happened in Vegas October 1st. But hockey was arrived in Vegas at the right time. I've heard that from a lot of locals, where they were able to not only have an identity as a city, but rally behind their hockey team that continued to win on a nightly basis. So for me, it's been a ton of fun. I get to sit around and talk hockey and stay, you know, involved, but also enjoy myself, obviously, in a great city, a really fun city, Las Vegas.
You know, Brad Maywood, I think you do a great job, and I was, you know, it can't be any cooler than this, because I walked in there, and I thought, and I've said this on the air many times, the atmosphere outside that arena with all those bars and restaurants and that square there going into the T-Mobile is really surreal. It's like nothing at any arena in the league. It's not even Madison Square Garden has that kind of action around 33rd and 7th. There's just a city hustling and bustling in New York. No one cares that there's a hockey game going on that night. People are moving and shaking and baking and driving. Cabs are honking and people are giving each other the finger. But in Vegas, there was this atmosphere of just happiness and joy and fun and partying and having a beer and having dinner and cheering, and everybody's wearing Penguin and Knights jerseys. And then the arena itself, every seat sold out. The pregame skate with the, you know, the helicopter with Foley playing Sergeant Patton, the whole deal. I mean, the entire thing was the most magnificent experience I've ever had in an NHL arena, and you know I've been in every one of them. I just think the Vegas Knights blow everyone out of the water. The whole league should be ashamed because they're not even within striking distance of what they're doing here.
You know what, Scott? I have to tell you, I've been around hockey for a long time, played almost 20 years, played 19 seasons, and no doubt T-Mobile Arena in Vegas is the most electric arena. I don't know if it's sad for the NHL, because guess what? Sometimes you need a superstar to come along and raise the level of all ships around them. And in saying that, Vegas burst on the scene, and it's competitive, obviously, from market to market. And it's actually probably going to be a good thing for the game of hockey, certainly for the fans that watch a game in Vegas. It's a ton of fun, but everybody else can get up to speed with in-game stuff. For me, to be successful in anything you do, you pretty much have to do everything right, or certainly have to do everything right consistently. And in Vegas's case, I honestly, they haven't made any mistakes. The way they built their team, the way they market their team, the way they entertain their fans, everything to me seems to be almost perfect. But you know what? They're always pursuing the best, and that's Vegas. If they're not that good, they won't sell out, and people will be buying Celine Dion tickets and whoever else is playing that night. So it's a competitive marketplace in Vegas.
So, you know, you grew up in Ontario, and I remember, you know, after you won the Cup, I think you went back there and played for them. And I got to ask you, you're with the Ducks, you win a Cup, then you go play with them. Seriously, why do you think? Is there something wrong with the water or something? I don't understand how the Toronto Maple Leafs have not won a Stanley Cup since 1967. It is inexplicable to me that one of the great franchises that is, you know, meant for hockey and the fans and the city and the media and just the tradition there. I loved calling games there. I loved going to games there. They have great fans that love hockey on lakes and on ponds and wherever. They play hockey in Ontario like nobody's business. And why is it, and I know they're really good this year, Brad, but they really have sucked since 1967. It's unbelievable. Why do you think that is?
Listen, I'm going to throw this out here, and you're going to help me with some numbers. But it is sad. There's no question. Hockey is so passionate in Toronto. It's such a big part of the culture. It's a religion for many, many families and people. The Toronto Maple Leafs. But if I think of baseball for a second, Major League Baseball, if I asked you the top five franchises in baseball, you're going to tell me the Boston Red Sox, the Chicago Cubs, the Yankees for sure, and I'm not sure who the other two markets would be. Maybe St. Louis and someone else, Scott?
Right, I'm with you.
Dodgers.
So I know the other teams, but whatever the top five or six franchises would be, I think that the Red Sox didn't win a World Series for 108 years, and the Chicago Cubs didn't win a series for 116 years, or my numbers might be off. But the question is, why are the Toronto Maple Leafs, or why haven't had success? I ask the same question about the top franchises in baseball. And you know what it is? Is no matter if you win or if you lose, your fan base shows up and pays their money because it's a religion. The moment that the fans walk with their money because they don't accept mediocrity, that forces the teams into winning. And that's what's happened over the last decade or two in baseball with those teams. And I would assume it's happening right now in Toronto. The fans got set up, and then they were able to draft a guy named Austin Matthews, and, you know, look where they're at now.
So Nick Holden was in here tonight having dinner, and what do you think of him playing D for the Knights? And he was in, you know, Boston for a minute and at the Garden and with the Rangers for a minute. He really loves it here. I think every player that I've ever talked to that plays here thinks that it's basically red carpet city. It's Shangri-La playing for the Knights.
Oh, no, it's amazing. I like Nick. You know, what I like about Nick Holden is I don't notice him some nights, and that's a good thing. The way he plays certain nights, he's just a defensive, you know, responsible player. But he's got great ability to get up the ice and make plays. He's been a great addition, and he's a calming influence on the blue line for Vegas. But it is Shangri-La in Las Vegas. These guys are having a time of their life. The city has embraced them. The team gives back from what I see. And listen, everybody goes to Vegas to have a great time. And not all do, but most do. And you know what? I get to share in that. So it's been a ton of fun doing what I'm doing.
So Brad May with us. He's the Knights TV analyst on Rocky Mountain and AT&T Sportsnet. I have to ask you about, just so people can understand, like, I always, you know, loved watching you play. And I thought you were, like, one of the toughest SOBs in the league that I, you know, one of my favorite tough guys. I mean, you for sure played a very physical, rugged game. There's no doubt about it. You meant business, and you handled your business. And they don't make players like you anymore. The game has changed so much. When you played, you were in that. I mean, let's face facts. You were, I mean, as rugged. You reminded me of, are you with me, Carver High, like a LeClaire, these guys, these big, huge, bruising
power forward
that could stand in front of the net and take a beating and then dish it out to. When you played, it was so different than it is today. It's so non, in my view, there's no barely fighting. There's, you know, I think there's still some hitting going on, but I'm not, like, privy to that much of it anymore, because all I see is speed and skating and hands and quickness and, you know, passing and finishing. And it's beautiful. I won't deny that's what the league wants. Does it bother you at all how the game's changed and there's no more of the guys like you anymore? I mean, they really aren't. I mean, they don't make them like you anymore, dude.
Well, I take that as a compliment. However, it's just it's the eras that we grew up playing in and watching, but I would say I'd be kind of like a Tom Wilson or a Milan Lucic type player, right, today. But there is no fighting, or not as much fighting anymore. And you know what? It happened probably 20 years ago when it started to, you know, trends started to change. And I think you're right, Scott. NHL loves where they're at right now with the speed and skill. And I have to stop myself about talking about the good old days, because when I was a 20-year-old player coming into the NHL, and I was listed as a, you know, older gentleman, whatever, and they talk about the good old days. You know what? Each era that we all played in, and they're separate and different, they were special for their time and their moments. And you can't take that away from these guys. But I find sometimes I diminish the NHL because I'm not happy, because I don't get to see the fights and the spontaneous combustion that I'd like to see. But it's not about me anymore. It's about these guys playing, and they're incredibly skilled. So I got to keep my mouth shut sometimes. But if you ask this question, I wish absolutely they take the instigated penalty away. You see 1,000 more fights in the NHL, and get that 1,000, if not more, and you'd have a safer game. You'd have less injuries, and the game would be fun, no matter if it was a Saturday night or Monday night. Then again, in me saying that, there's a lot of smart people that are directing the NHL, and I'm no smarter than any one of them. So I wanted to give you my opinion, but it probably means nothing.
Listen, here's the deal. When I was a kid, I used to go to the igloo and watch the Penguins, right? And every night I went with my dad. That was the relationship I had with my father. My relationship with my father was about sports, and it was about going to Penguin games and Steeler and Pirate games, but my favorite was the Penguins, and I would go to the hockey games every night. And there was one thing I was guaranteed: I was going to see Paul Baxter beat someone's face in every single time I went to that arena. And then I saw every tough bruiser that ever played in the league, and they always got in fights. And they just don't have it anymore. And it really, I think, the softness of it has really disappointed me. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I hate it that there's not at least one good fight. The other night when I saw McQuaid and Reeves fight, I almost took my clothes off and ran naked down the street because it was the first fight I'd seen in 2 years in the NHL. Last question I got for you, Mayday, is this. You were such one of my favorite players. Now you're this, you know, analyst on TV. How much do you like doing the TV career? Because when you're done playing, you don't know what you're going to do. You're like, you know, you're if you're not some multi-$100 million player and you're left for your own devices and you got to go make a living doing something else, you start tripping your ass off. You're like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. You got into hockey TV and broadcasting. How much do you like it as opposed to being a player?
Well, first of all, being a player is the best. You can't do it forever, and I understand that. I got to play longer than most, so I played 19 seasons in the NHL, which was awesome. But playing was awesome. But you know what? I get to stick around. I get to talk hockey. I get to, you know, run into my buddies and different acquaintances across the NHL. I get to actually still live in the same kind of, not world necessarily, but the same pattern, right? You start your season in October, playoffs ramp up in April. For me, not a lot has changed. I'm still doing the same thing. But, yeah, I still wish I could play. But then again, I guess we all would probably wish that we were 22 again and ripped as opposed to being 47 and 25 pounds overweight. You know what I mean, Scott?
You look great, though, Mayday. You look great, and I'm glad you're doing great. It was great running into you. We got to get you back on the show more often to talk hockey. I'll tell you what, we'll call you and get you on when the playoffs start, and we'll see how the Knights are doing. I'm sure they're going to be terrific. I think they're, once again, one of the three best teams in the West. I think they mean business. I think Fleury's unbelievable. I love you, Mayday. It's been great catching up. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight, and we'll talk again real soon. All the love, brother.
Hey, Scotty, here's the deal. You're going to have me on because my picks, I typically pick the winners, and I know your audience loves listening to people that actually are confident. Bring me on before the playoffs. I'll set up their brackets, and you know what? We'll have a ton of fun celebrating.
That sounds like a nice way to make money with Mayday. Brad May, everybody. Mayday, I love you, man.
Okay, guys. See ya.
All right, peace. My man, Brad May. Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. Brad May wins it in
overtime. Gets it to May and over the line. He's May going in on goal. He shoots. He scores. Mayday! 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 Mayday!
It's Pharrell on the bench from Vegas on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.